Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, in with T. Frank Carr. And it's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask T. Frank. This is where we have T. Frank answer your Penn State football or recruiting questions or questions about life in general. If you want to submit a question, you can download our app. It's just Keystone Sports, or you can email us at info@ksnsports.net. At the end of the segment, we'll select the best question. Winner will get the great KSN sweatshirt. Are you ready to go, Mr. T. Frank?
Let's do it.
Alrighty. Is that like your radio voice you got into, going a little bit deeper? Let's do it.
It's also early in the morning where I am, so I'm trying to keep my voice down because there's a lot of people asleep in the house.
All right. We'll try to keep you under control then. Let's start with Glenn in Pleasantville, New York, who says, Penn State has had a number of players through the years who have had better pro careers versus what they accomplished in college. Who among the departing players is the best candidate to follow this path?
The guys that have had good careers so far that have opted out, they've all been productive at this level. I don't think it, I also want to say there's a bit of revisionist history here, because if you look back, Mike Gesicki had a great career. Chris Godwin had a great career. Saquon Barkley had obviously a phenomenal career at Penn State. It's just the last two really good football players in Micah Parsons and in Odafe Owe that have played well at the NFL level without doing as much at the college level, and it's because of a pandemic. So let's just remember that. Let's just keep our emotions and our logic a little balanced instead of having it, you know, completely one way. If I had to pick a guy, I don't know that Brandon Smith is going to have a great NFL career. He does have the skills to be a great linebacker in coverage, but you cannot be, even at the NFL level, a one-sided player. He has to get better at his ability to defend in the box and his ability to take on offensive linemen and shed an attack. He doesn't use his hands well when it comes to the run game. He's much more of a chase space player. So that has to get better. And if that does, then sure, he would be the guy in this group that could be play better at the NFL level than he did at the college level. But he wasn't as bad as every fan wants to remember. He was a productive football player for Penn State that was a part of their success. So I think even then you could say he would be better at the NFL level, but it's not like he was bad. He just didn't realize his high 4, low 5 star potential.
I think when fans are looking at some of these players who have excelled at the NFL beyond what you saw at their Penn State career, who's the offensive tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who came
Donovan
out of Penn
Smith.
State?
Again, there's an example Donovan of a guy. Smith. There's an example of a guy that was recruited by Joe Paterno, played for 3 head coaches, and just wanted out of college. I don't know that's another great example of somebody who's in a unique situation. So yes, there are examples of that, but there are examples of that for a lot of teams. Do you think that Jamar Chase and LSU, that all good feelings for them, or some of the other guys that opted out of the 2020 season at other programs? So it's a very special circumstance, a very special situation that caused a lot of those things that happened.
A lot of times I don't think it's a poor reflection on the college team that happens. I think sometimes it's the model of a player's game.
We aren't reading the same comments then. based on what I've read from fans that are upset about those things, it is 100% the coaching at the college level of what they're upset about.
See, I kind of look at it the other way. I think in many ways it's when the program, and there's been a couple of those defensive backs like Nick Scott and some of the names escape me, where I think it's almost like, you know, Penn State's strength and conditioning programs, they prepare these kids for the NFL game.
Yeah.
They end up at the combine putting up numbers that make you go, wow, did not expect that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is a credit to Penn State's strength and conditioning program. So I guess different ways to look at the same thing. All right, let's go to our next question here. Let's go to Eric in Gettysburg. T. Frank, what can college football do about players opting out of bowl games? Will the bowl games become obsolete if this trend continues?
You can make the case that they're obsolete right now, based on what we've seen this week and from a lot of teams. But I would ask you the question of Penn State football fans, are you super excited about the Outback Bowl without these players playing? So yes, the answer is yes, they are going to become obsolete, which is why something needs to be done. And James Franklin talked about this at the end of the season of you need to expand the playoffs as much as possible, as soon as possible to make, I don't know, the Rose Bowl matter. Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Nicholas Petitfriere all opted out. Zach Harrison opted out of the Rose Bowl. Not of the Outback Bowl, not of the Meineke Car Care Bowl, not of the Papa John's Pizza.com Bowl, the Rose Bowl. So yeah, it's an issue. So expand the playoffs is the first thing. And then I think for the rest of the bowl games, Penn State football fans have been telling me how much they don't care about this bowl game anyway, because it was a terrible season and a lot of people checked out after Illinois. So first off, do you blame the players for also doing that in the bowl game after playing the rest of the football season when things didn't go well? But in these games, I think you just need to have a bit of a rebranding of this is not, we don't, you care about the win and the win and loss. You're going to play the game to win the game, but let's make it a spotlight on the next season. Let's really make these 7-5, 8-4 bowl games about you're playing your depth, you're seeing the future, because that's what every Penn State fan that's talked to me, that's what they want to know about. You know, is Kobe King going to be any good? What do you see from Landon Tengwall? What do you see from Olufoshunu? What is Parker Washington's role going to be like next year? So instead of just playing the game as if it's the 13th game in the season, rebrand these bowl games for the future, because that's all the fans, like the diehard fans that are still paying attention, that's what they want to know about. They want to know about next season. So let's lean into that. And let's preview and give more information, more playing time to young players, which Penn State's done anyway. If you look at the Fiesta Bowl, Miles Sanders had a big part in the Fiesta Bowl against Washington. So, you know, I think Penn State has done that over the years anyway. And I think that just it comes down to then the spin you're putting on these games to get people interested. And that's what I would do.
As a diehard fan, I still like this bowl game because it's still college football. And I like what you're talking about, branding. Let's find out about some of those new players for next year.
Yeah, it's
my
pizza,
one big
right?
fear.
It's pizza. So the bowl game here is pizza.
Yes.
Whether it's delicious pizza or it's pizza, you're going to eat it and you're going to like it. I'm just trying to sell it
because
to you.
Because it's pizza.
Exactly. I'm trying to sell you on this pizza with the free garlic dipping sauce. That's what all I'm doing is giving you the garlic dipping sauce.
Well, my fear is that we've gone so quickly from it being an outlier of players skipping this game to a lot of players are skipping it because, as you said, what I hear this, oh, this game doesn't matter. Well, how far is a stretch is it to start saying, you know what, that last game of the season against Michigan State, that one didn't really matter either. So what's the difference between 8-4, 7-5? They weren't going to win the Big Ten or anything else. Will it start eating into the regular season game? Where does it end? That's my concern. Let's move on here. Jimmy in Forest City says, T. Frank, a few Penn State players passed on the NFL draft and came back to Penn State for the 21 season. Brisker and Dotson shined and improved their draft stock. But we don't hear much about Tariq Castro Fields. How would you grade him in 2021, and where might he be drafted?
I don't have a lot of good things to say about this. I don't know that he improved his draft stock this year. I think he just kind of topped out as a guy that maybe wasn't everything we thought he was as far as the athlete and the corner. He had some good plays. He was a good player in the secondary, but I don't know that he's going to be drafted. He's going to have to put up great numbers for teams to be interested in him, because a lot of the mental mistakes of that Penn State fans have seen, right, of just biting on plays or getting straight beat by players. Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's on a comeback route that Tariq Castro Fields was supposed to stay with him, and he just couldn't. Like, he was too fast. He was too physical at the point. And then Tariq Castro Fields missed that play. A lot of mental mistakes and lack of anticipation and lack of instincts, I think, are all pretty clear in his game. And then it's about, you know, the physical side. So, yeah, I feel bad for him. I think he's put his heart and soul into the team, and he's put his heart and soul into his career. And it's just going to be about all those intangibles to latch on with a team and show that he can still grow and progress as a football player. But as he is right now, I don't see anybody I'm interested in having on my team in the first six rounds.
All right. Lee in Mount Lebanon says, T. Frank, I enjoy your analysis here. And have you done an analysis of Christian Vaiu on skills, comparing his play as a junior in high school, which was his last playing time, and his limited playing time during the Rutgers game? As a fan, I was happy with his Rutgers performance, but I'm curious as to where he stands in your opinion and his pursuit of being a top quarterback in college football.
Yes, I have done those things, and that is for my other employment, which if you want to check that out, you can just Google me and find where that is, which I'm not going to get into right now. But yes, I have done those things. I guess what I would say is I don't really want to compare where he was as a junior to where he is as a freshman in college, because the gap in time is so significant and because everything's different. Like, everything has changed in terms of what you should expect from him. But I'll tell you what I saw after the game at Rutgers is I was encouraged by some of the things I saw from an intangible perspective that didn't seem like pressure fazed him too much. He threw the ball accurately on frame for a lot of those plays against man coverage. I was questioning whether or not he could read zone coverage is the problem, because just the way Rutgers was playing that game, they're being hyper aggressive. And he was throwing into some pretty open windows, or he was throwing into some pretty clear pre-snap reads. So I think it's a little bit of pump the brakes when it comes to how excited you should be, because there's just a whole section of football we don't know about. But everything we saw was very encouraging.
And when you talk about the difference between what he saw at Rutgers and maybe a zone defense, that's something like what Iowa does and forces a lot of mistakes and turnovers, correct?
Yeah, which is exactly why I don't think you can say lock, stock, and barrel that Penn State would have won that Iowa game. There were two plays in particular where he threw into triple coverage to the Jahan Dotson against Rutgers in zone coverage, where they dropped a defensive end underneath a double team, and he threw it anyway. And then he tried to hit cover two with the safety dropping, or the corner dropping as he should, and squeezing that hole behind the corner in front of the safety. So he made some pretty regular mistakes that I don't want to project anything beyond that.
All right, real quickly, who's our winner?
Let's go with Eric from Gettysburg, because I think it's very timely and important to address bowl games.
Very good. Eric will be getting in touch with you. That is it for quarter number three. Stick around. Quarter number four, we're talking recruiting. Stick with us.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.